Hey builders, this is Rob. Just wanted to check in with you real quick before we get into the show and remind you about GrandCon. GrandCon is our favorite local convention. It's coming up on September 19th to the 21st, 2014. We went last year and we had a blast. Really, it was one of the most fun con experiences for me and Jason last year in 2013. So we are super, super excited about GrandCon for this year, for 2014. It's in a new spot. It's at the Crown Plaza Hotel and Convention Center. That's at 5728 Street Southeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan. If you are in the Southwest Michigan area or are willing to drive to Southwest Michigan, come to GrandCon. It is a blast. Last year was so good. I'm sure this year's only going to get better. Let me actually go through some of the guest lists that we've got lined, or excuse me, that they have lined up this week or this year. A lot of these guys I don't know, but I'm not in the know. You know, let's see. We've got John Alderink, Gary Scott Beatty, Jeff D., Dave Dorman. Now, Dave Dorman, I know. I've actually had a print by Dave Dorman, a Star Wars print, hanging on the wall in my office for probably the last 15 years. So that's cool. Let's see. We got Sam Eggleston, Matt Forback, Rob Garcia, Jeff Grubb. He's a game designer. He did campaign settings for AD&D and the original Marvel Superheroes game. Worked on Forgotten Realms and Dragonlance, pretty cool stuff. We have Ed Greenwood, Bradley McDevitt, Mark McKenna, that's a name that you should know. He did art for Batman, Wolverine, Iron Man, The Incredible Hulk, and did some stuff on for Star Wars. Pop Mahan, Mark Nelson, Paul Peterson. Hey, we know Paul Peterson. He's one of the judges for the Deathmatch. He made Smash Up and Unexploded Cow, and he's working on Pathfinder right now. I could go on. There's a huge list of guests that they've got coming, both game designers and comic artists. It's pretty exciting stuff. GrandCon, September 19th to the 21st, 2014, Crown Plaza Hotel and Convention Center, 5728th Street Southeast, Grand Rapids. This year, Jason and I are going to be there. We're excited about it. We had a blast last year. We want to see you there this year. So come and check it out. Now, on with the show. Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, August 4th, 2014, and you're listening to episode 114. My name is Rob. With me is Jason.
What's
going on? How you doing? What's new?
Much. We just were talking a minute ago about how Gen Con is so close.
So close. It's like a week and a half away now. This is extremely stressful.
Stressful.
What are you planning to bring?
It sounds like a simple question. Well,
hopefully you have decided this by now.
Yeah, I have. Okay. Well, okay, so I'm definitely bringing, I'm 100% bringing The Beat on the Street.
Okay.
I'm going to show that to someone while I'm there.
I really want to play that.
So I know, yeah. So, well, by now, I'm sure you have, because I'm going to force some people to play it next week, because I really need to get a six-player test in. I've been struggling trying to do that.
Yeah.
The person I was talking to about it wants to know what it would be like with six players. Mm. And I'd done a six-player test before at Unpub, and it went smashingly. But I made some changes to the game to kind of gamer it up a little bit.
Yeah.
And, sometimes the hardest part for the original version of the game was by, like, round three or four, it was kind of repetitive.
Mm-hmm.
So I took out the round structure and made it just one open game where you're constantly playing cards and you're only rapping when you hit, when you make a combo, like... You make two lines rhyme, then you wrap those two lines, you get your cred cube, boom. Or you play your two dance cards down, and boom, you do your two dance moves, and you get your cube. So that's kind of how the game is playing right now.
Okay.
And I'm happy with how it's playing, but I really need to see what it's like with six players, because it could end up making it take a lot longer. I don't think it will, but it could. It certainly could, right?
Yeah.
So definitely taking that. I'll have Gunslinging Ramblers there. I don't know if I'll have any of the newest changes in with it. Okay. that I'm making based on Origins. I've got some great ideas. I worked some stuff out, but I just don't think I'll have time to get the proto together
sure.
to change it.
Sure.
Maybe I will. We'll see. So, in addition to that, I sent out a request for a pitch for Transylvania Trading Company.
Oh.
I never heard back.
Hmm. Bummer.
So Beat on the Street is definitely going to be there. I might, as I said, have Transylvania, but we'll see. I mean,
see what happens.
You know, I'll probably have it with me, mm-hmm. Just to get some, you know, testing in on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and who knows? I may have already thought of some other fun game to quick throw together to get some testing on while I'm there, because I like to do that sometimes. So we'll sure. see.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right on.
How about you? Well, I mean, I know the answer, but...
Yeah, well, for our listeners, I'll have Epic Monster Tea Party with me. I mean, that's pretty much a done thing. I would love to play it with some more people, because I think a lot of people have really sounded excited about the idea, and so the more I can play with people, the more I'd like to do that. I'm going to be bringing Innkeepers. That's going to be my main proto for testing, and I actually have two pitches scheduled.
Awesome.
One of those is the one that fell through for Origins, so we're going to try again at Gen Con, and then one other one with another publisher, so fingers crossed. And that second publisher also said that he really liked to see Rocket Wreckers, which was a surprise to me. And he and I had a pretty candid conversation about where it is and what its status is right now. I wanted to make sure that he understood what my feelings
there
were about
illusions.
It. Yeah, yeah. So I think I'm excited about that, because I think it's going to be a really interesting conversation. And really, it'll be really refreshing to hear a publisher's perspective on what right. that game is and what it could be. So right. I'm actually really looking forward to that conversation. In fact, I'd considered not even bringing Rocket Wreckers with me.
Right.
You know, but since he specifically asked to see it, then yeah, great, sure. Of course. And then I'm also going to have one called Negotiating Crevasses,
yeah.
which I haven't talked about on the show at all. It's one that I kind of been co-designing with our friend Laura, who has participated in some of our lunchtime playtests. We haven't done one of those in a while.
Right. But so, let me get back to that.
Yeah. Listeners may remember that she was part of that. She and I have been kind of working off and on a little kind of silly, lightweight, fast-paced storytelling party game thing. That it's just kind of dumb, and we've really, really enjoyed working on it. And I don't think anybody would ever want to publish it, but once she and I are happy with where it is, I'm sure I'll throw it up on GameCrafter. It's pretty much ready to go.
Yeah, it is.
So I'll have that with me, and hopefully I can just get some fun playtests into that, and because I just really enjoy playing the game a lot. It's extremely creative experience. Yeah, so that's basically what I'm going to have with me. I'll come back to that next week, because next week is going to be our big Gen Con pre-show.
Yes, it is.
We do this every year before Gen Con.
Yeah, third year doing it?
Third year doing it? Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah.
Big Gen Con pre-show. We're going to talk about what we're looking forward to seeing, what our plans are for Gen Con, everything. So
right.
we'll hit up all that next week. Been playing anything lately?
Not really. Thanks to Jason Katarski, the jerk that he is,
mm-hmm.
I've been playing this game called Timberman on iPhone. It's free. Oh,
okay.
You just are hitting buttons, chopping down trees.
Yeah.
And it's really addictive. You should try it.
So Timberman?
You can just play it all the time.
Okay.
Yeah, it's really simple. You're on the left side of the tree, you're on the right side of the tree, you're chopping down. You're just trying not to get hit by branches as you chop it down.
That sounds compelling, actually.
Yeah. And the faster you tap, you have an energy bar, and the faster you tap, the fuller the energy bar stays.
Mm-hmm.
The slower you tap, the faster it goes down.
Mm.
And when it gets to zero, you're out. Or if you hit a thing, you're out. If you get hit by a branch. So, and the more you play and the higher scores you get, the more you're able to unlock new tree chopper downer people.
Okay. So, what, more new lumberjacks?
Yeah, but I mean, they get weird. Like, the current lumberjack I have is in a hazmat suit. So,
oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah. But it's fun. It's addictive. Right. And I've also been playing on my iPhone Angry Birds Epic. which is it's really fun. It's basically an Angry Birds RPG, and it's done really, really well, except for the programming is terrible, and it crashes all the time, and it has
too issues. Bad.
It's gotten a little more stable, and so this is the best part, and I don't know if this is my phone or the game. I think it's a combination of both, but if I'm playing my game and someone calls me, my phone locks up and just keeps ringing, and I can't turn it off, and the phone call never ends. Like, for like minutes, it'll just... keeps going, and I hit the accept, nothing. Hit the decline, nothing. I have to hard boot the phone to turn it off.
Wow.
It's happened like 5 times now.
That sucks.
Yeah.
That's reason enough for me to not play that game.
But see, again, part of me thinks it's my phone that's the problem.
Yeah.
You have a newer model. I bet that's yours will work fine.
Yeah. Huh. Crazy. Well, I when we on those flights to and from UK, I played a lot of Ascension on my iPhone.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Like, that's a perfect example of a phone game or a tablet game that makes me want to buy the tabletop game. Because I was kind of sick and tired of deck builders, you know?
Right.
But, I like Ascension. It's a fun game.
I do, too. I wish that they would make DC Deck Builder.
Yeah.
Which is like Ascension, but with DC characters.
Yeah.
And I heard it's better.
I've heard that too.
I wish they had that for the iPhone, because $7 or something, I would buy it. Because I know I'll never play it with people in real life.
Right.
So the idea of being able to play it on there sounds so cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Get on that, DC.
Yeah, seriously, dudes.
You're too busy making movies that flop, so.
Oh,
sick burn.
Sick, sick burn.
Batman v Superman.
Oh, jeez, dude. Don't even get me started.
Don't
even
justice.
Get me started. Does anyone care? I don't care.
No.
Who cares?
Like, new. Like, I read IO9 and they're like, spoilers, new exciting news. There's going to be this movie. And I'm like, I can't even care a little bit.
You know what? On the plane, international flights, they give you free movies to watch on a little screen in front of you.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's good. And so on the way there, I rewatched Dark Knight Rises.
You hated it again?
I hated it so much the first time. I saw it in the theater, and I just hated every minute of it. But it's been years, right? So I thought, let me just try it again. You know,
you get to pick from a list, I take it?
Yeah. There were like 35 different movies you could pick from. So let me try. You know, the stakes are much lower now. I don't care if it's good or not.
Still hated it?
It's still so bad. It's still such a bad movie.
It's a decent movie, like you once said to me.
Yeah.
It's not a bad movie. It's just not a Batman movie.
It's
like Batman's never in the movie.
It's an okay movie about a Gotham City police detective.
Right.
It's a terrible Batman movie because there's no Batman in this Batman movie.
Like, where's Batman?
And Bane is so dumb. He's so dumb.
Oh, I like him. It's because I'm a huge fan of Tom Hardy.
Well, I love Tom. He's great. Yeah. He's awesome, but... that character is so bad.
Like, the funniest thing about The Dark Knight Rises to me is, you probably haven't seen this movie, and I've only seen parts of it. It's called We're the Millers. It's very, like, have you seen?
No, I know.
It's very lowbrow humor, right? Like, it's Jason Sudeikis, and he does an impression of Bane, and it's like, that to me is, I'm glad I saw Dark Knight Rises just so that his impression was funny.
Yeah, well, right. But that's another thing. Like, I want those jokes to go away, because I just want that whole movie to be forgotten, because it just destroyed Batman.
Yeah.
It killed those first two movies. The first movie was so good. The second movie was freaking unbelievably good.
I feel like the second movie was probably the best made comic book movie, like, as to make it like a legit straightforward movie that feels like a graphic novel, like that did it.
It was as good as a Batman movie could be, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And I've liked other comic book movies way more than that.
Sure.
Because they're so much more fun, you know? Yeah. Like, all the Marvel stuff is more fun than that was, just because, you know, that movie wasn't supposed to be fun. It was supposed to kind of mess your head up.
Yeah.
And it did a good job of that.
Man, Dark Knight Rises was so bad.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so bad! Oh.
Rob's actually in physical pain here thinking about that movie.
It hurts, Jason. It hurts.
Anyways, so yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, I don't know how we got on this thing, but yes, Batman versus Superman. Sorry, Batman v Superman. Mark my words.
Don't care.
I don't even care if the movie is the best movie ever made. Mm-hmm. I probably will never see it.
I saw Man of Steel on TV, slept through the last half hour. didn't care enough to go back and rewatch the last half hour.
Because you know what?
Wasn't that good.
You know how it ends, right? Superman wins.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you missed the part where they destroy half the city. I haven't even seen the movie and I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. God. Anyway. We should talk about game stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Superman sucks.
Yeah, well... Yeah, I'm reading the DC, the Futures End series, the New 52 Futures End. It's a weekly series. They launched it on Free Comic Book Day, and that's been okay. That's been all right. I've enjoyed that. I mean, there's stuff going on there that I don't necessarily always know what's going on, but I'm a sucker for Batman Beyond. I love Batman Beyond.
And that's who the Batman is?
And the Batman in that is Batman Beyond. And there will go like 3 issues in a row where there's no Batman Beyond, and I'll be like, I think maybe I don't care about this anymore.
And then Batman Beyond,
I'm like, oh, cool, okay, yeah, right on, I'm in. Count me in. I'll keep buying this for another 6 weeks for the rest of the year. Sure, go, yeah. Anyway, games. let's talk about a feature of the week, huh?
Hey, let's.
I was inspired by my travels recently to think about travel games. You know, there was an era when we were kids where, you know, Milton Bradley had travel versions of
games.
Travel Connect 4 and Travel Battleship. And
so bad.
Yeah. So I was wondering, is there some way that we could do a gamer game as a travel game, you know? So something that, I was thinking about, restrictions or requirements to make it a good travel game.
No magnets.
Yeah, no magnets. And I don't mean something that's small that you can throw in a bag, and when you get to your destination, you pull it out. No, I mean something you can play while you are traveling, while you were sitting in an airplane seat, or while you're sitting in the back seat of a car. You know, something that it only requires a small surface to play on, or maybe no surface at all. Okay, something that. That is small itself, is compact thing to take with you. Something that plays reasonably fast. Something that, you know, if you need to stop in the middle of the game and resume, it's easy to do so.
Right.
You know? So if you're in the airplane, you know, say, what if the guy next to you needs to get up and go to the bathroom? Well, you got to pick everything up and put up your tray tables and step out so he can get out of the aisle. You know, same thing with if you're in the car, sometimes you got to pull over to the rest stop and you don't want to just end and start over. So that was kind of what I was thinking there with travel games, games that are playable while you are traveling. What do you think?
I think that's cool. I think that's some interesting restrictions,
mm-hmm.
Especially if we're going to try and make it like a gamery game, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah.
A Euro, Settlers of Catan, Airplane Edition.
Yeah, the first thing, of course, that came to my mind was Standing in Line, that game by Chuck Beauvais.
Yep.
Yeah, we talked to him, gosh, more than a year ago now.
Yeah, a long time
ago. Yeah, and he had that game that the idea was that this is a game you play with people while you're staying in line at a con. And it was actually kind of clever. It was about bidding and trying to guess how many of each type of card the other person had in their hand. And then you kept score by putting like a little elastic band around your finger. And I thought that was really clever and really smart.
Very clever.
Made it easy because you're only holding cards in your hand. You don't have to put things down. You have to worry about discard. It was really smart. It was really smart and well put together, I thought.
Yep.
So what else could we do with that?
One thing that pops to mind is dice rings. Remember those?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That was because that's a easy.
Right. Portable. Instead of rolling a die, you would have a ring on your finger that has like a spinner inside, and you would spin the spinner.
Right.
And wherever it would stop based on an arrow, that would be the number that that you roll on that die.
Exactly. And speaking of that, a spinner could actually be a decent thing.
Yeah.
Because,
actually,
you know, that would be a really easy way to track things without having to actually roll dice.
Yeah.
And not having to buy something expensive like a ring that rolls for you.
Yeah, and along that line, a rondelle would be a good thing for tracking status or point value or score or something.
As long as the rondelle was good at staying put.
Yeah, it wasn't real loose. Yeah. Yeah, so that's a good thought. What other components would kind of lend themselves to that?
So our pieces on a board are tough, right?
Because they can shift around.
So, but I mean, there's going to be a point in the game where you're going to have to play something, right? So what if, here's a thought. What if you've got a hand of cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
a Euchre style game where you're playing back and forth. That's not great, because if you have to get up in the middle of a round, wait, whose turn was it?
Right. Yeah, you don't want to do that.
So maybe you have your hand that you get dealt, right? Mm-hmm. And once you get dealt that hand, when you play the hand, you do it once, right? Like, so I play my cards, as you play your cards, we play our cards, and then round is determined, round is ended, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that just seems to me like a real easy way to fix that. Also, maybe having a box that was easy to draw from, mm-hmm, and or discard into. Oh, ooh, you could have a two-part... I know this isn't necessarily designing the game, but it's kind of thinking some functional things, right?
Yeah.
What if you had like a double-decker... You know the box that Water Balloon Washout came in? The single-tuck box? What if you had a double-tuck box, but it was split down the middle?
Oh, okay.
One was for draw, one was for discard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do that.
That could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Then you just set it up on the side.
Yeah.
You could even have the rondelle be on the outside of the box.
You could, yeah. I mean, you could easily do that as a more traditional box with a plastic insert or something in it, too, you know?
Oh,
or,
yeah, that would work, too.
Right. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Great point. Yeah, that would work great.
Okay. What other stuff would lend itself? So we don't... And nothing that you're going to have to toss or throw, so you won't have to roll a die.
Right.
And if you're placing things into... If you're placing pieces on a board, you want those pieces to fit into that board and lock into that board so you can just pick it up real quick.
Right. No, there can't be any chance that when you pick that board up, this stuff goes everywhere. Right.
Yeah, so like a Yahtzee set, you know, with the dice that fall into pre-sized slots.
Like even like a Boggle, too.
Boggle. That's what I'm thinking of is Boggle, not Yahtzee.
It's locked into a container.
Right.
Well, let's think about that, right? Because a Boggle game, a Boggle style game, would be always locked in the box. So there's no chance of it ever. And then you maybe could even just have notepads for scoring. Well, here, because I hate notepads for scoring. Now that there's anything wrong with it, it's just not my thing. What if every time you score a point when you're playing this game, you're drawing a card, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's you're tracking that by holding the cards in your hand, and then you can do something with those cards later in the game. That way, if I have to stand up, I've got my hand of cards, I pick up my Boggle box.
Mm-hmm.
What might be kind of fun is if it was like a mashup of like a Carcassonne and Boggle.
Mm-hmm.
So like you shake it and you drop it down and there's like, it's making a map, kind of, like some roads and stuff. And you can, maybe there's locations on certain dice, right? And the locations, so each like, some die are like, dice are like locations. That have multiple sides. Every side has a location, but they're all worth different point values.
Okay.
And then the other ones in between are roads, right? So you are trying to connect locations via roads, and you have to have at least one road between a location. So if your locations wind up right next to each other, it doesn't count. But if there was a road coming out and a road coming back, then, they're connected by roads, right? Does that make sense?
Okay.
That's a simple idea.
Yeah. Do you remember the battle box?
Hey, do you remember the battle box?
Yeah. So, what if... Okay. What if it's a war game?
Uh-huh.
Okay? And you... let's see. And it's the Boggle container. And every die in there has red and blue on it and white, let's say. Okay. You know, two red, two blue, two white faces. And so what you're doing is you have a hand of cards okay.
I just feel like the cards are a bad idea.
Yeah.
Because it's just more stuff to hold on to.
Right. See, the concept that I have is that you're going through a series of rounds, and every round is another step, another phase in the battle, in the war that you're fighting here. And so, at the start of each round, each player has to pick a card that represents their strategy for that attack. Okay, and and that's going to be some kind of a number or a value or whatever,
mm-hmm.
And then. And you lay those down, and then you shake the Boggle box or Boggle container, put it back down, and then you're going to get a certain number of blues, reds, and whites that are there. Okay. And on a basic level, whoever has the most of each of their color is the one who's going to win that round. But that's modified then by whatever stats are on the card that they just played.
Okay, I'm with you.
All right. And so, and that could say that, you know, in that turn, you get, you know, you're going to double your number. Or it could be that if you have a set of three in a row in your color, you're going to get those three are actually going to be worth six or whatever. You know, just some kind of simple structures to that. Every time you have a blue next to a red, then those two cancel each other out and they can't be counted. And so you do that and you have a series of maybe six rounds per battle. And at the end, whoever has won the most rounds is the winner.
Yeah, I buy that. You don't necessarily need to track rounds. I mean, it's easy to remember.
Well, because you only have six cards in your hand, and so when your hand runs out, that game is over.
So you're trying to decide, do I want to play my stronger card? Not even that certain cards are stronger, it's just that they're different.
Right.
And you want to try to not play the same card as the other person, right?
Exactly, otherwise you're going to cancel each other out.
Yeah, so right. I mean, yeah, I think that's decent. I still love the battle box idea.
I do too.
It's so silly, but and one thing that would be cool about that is you could have, you know, we had talked about the battle box having different cards you could slip in the bottom to kind of change the playing field and what it does in there.
Right.
So I think to do that would be really easy, and that would still be very portable because you do it once per game, beginning of the game, slide that in, play the game. So it's still highly augmentable for when you want to play for high replayability.
Sure.
You just want to make sure that the materials are such that the shaking it doesn't drive people like on a plane nuts.
Well, that would be a problem with that, yeah.
So
that would be it would be loud.
Not necessarily. You could use dice that were softer, like softer sided or something.
Yeah, I guess so. Work.
So.
Yeah, I don't know. It's an interesting challenge though, to try and think of something that's playable while traveling.
Right.
You know. Do we have any other ideas?
I honestly don't. No. I'm sure our listeners have some thoughts. So let's solicit them for some ideas. But
right.
I feel good about that. I feel like that meets the requirements we set out to.
Mm-hmm.
And we even managed to call back something we talked about before, which I know people love.
Battle Box. So. Listener, if you're a new listener and you don't know what the Battle Box is all about, that was inspired by Demon Surprise.
Yep.
Yeah. Right. So. Yeah. You can kind of go back and try and look for that in show notes or something when I pitched the game Demon Surprise.
Yep.
That was the birth of the Battle Box idea. We've
come back to it a couple times.
We have, because we think it's still kind of a fun idea. But we won't get into that right now. So listeners, if you have any suggestions or any thoughts on other... Or if you know of a game that is out there that exists, that's a good gamery game... that is easily playable while traveling, let us know, because I'd be interested in seeing that or learning more about it. But that's enough of that. That was our feature of the week. It's time now for practicing the pitch.
Hey,
it's my turn. So, 4th of July, I talked about this last week. We had we always have a big family party, and my one cousin, who's also a gamer, comes up from North Carolina. And in North Carolina, there is a beverage called cheer wine.
Yes, and I know you love it.
I love cheer wine. It's a cherry soda, basically. It's just a cherry soda, cherry-flavored soda. But it is so good. And they don't sell it up here. Like, every now and then, if I go to our local World Market, I can find a bottle or two, or if I'm lucky, three, I can find. Because World Market carries weird sodas.
Right, but they don't always have everything yet.
Right. So sometimes if I'm lucky, I can get it up here, but... no guarantees. So whenever Brian comes up, I always ask him to bring me some cheer wine. Mm-hmm. And he came through, man. He brought me 5 2-liter bottles of cheer wine.
Nice!
Yeah. So they're still sitting in my dad's fridge. I need to get them home.
Hopefully he's not drinking them.
I don't know. You're right. Anyway, cheer wine is awesome. And I really like weird regional sodas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
It's like, kind of like liking weird regional beers, but...
Yeah, you know, but it's a little soda. Less... It's not so artsy. You know? Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's not so snobbish. Like, when I was a little kid, and growing up in Southern Ohio and Kentucky and Tennessee, there's a drink called Ski, which was like a lemon orange soda.
Oh, I would try
and
that.
And it was amazing.
I like lemons. I like oranges. I like soda.
And when I was a kid, I didn't even understand that not everyone in the world knew Ski. I didn't get it, though, either. I didn't understand, because we couldn't get Ski at our local grocery store. We would have to go to, like, you know, the little smaller grocery store to get Ski. Right. And when I went to Boy Scout camp, for example, they like, exclusively, it was the only soda that they sold at the Boy Scout camp was Ski. So it was a little extra special that way.
That is cool.
So, yeah, it was, like, this little small regional soda, and I loved the crap out of it. Then we moved to California when I was in high school. In Southern California, they have Cactus Cooler. Have you heard of Cactus Cooler?
I have heard of that.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever tried it, but
that's
heard of it.
It's so good. It's they say it's cactus flavored soda. I don't know about that.
You're like, I haven't eaten a cactus
whatever
before,
it's good.
Sure.
It's super good. So I've kind of become fascinated and fallen in love with regional sodas. You know, around here in Michigan we have Werner's, you know. Werner's is right. A regional soda.
Yeah, and that was something I grew up not realizing. My dad always has loved Werner's, mm-hmm. and so I've always drank Werner's. It was kind of like that special thing to have. And
yeah.
Yeah, and then just find out that it's not in other places, you're like, oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
You don't that's even made by that. A big brand.
Yeah, yeah. You don't think about this. And I'm sure that there are dozens more regional sodas out there that I don't know about that are really good. So I was thinking about that over the 4th of July and thinking, I wonder if there's a game in that, right? And wonder if there's a game about running a regional soda company and trying to expand your market share throughout the country.
Right.
You know? So I was exploring that. And this is kind of a loose idea right now, but let me go through it. I'm calling the game Soda Kings.
I like the name.
Yeah. Notice I call it Soda Kings and not Pop Kings. Because when I grew up, we called it soda.
And there was only one king of pop, and that was Michael Jackson.
That's right. Still the king of pop, if you ask me.
It's true. Well, I mean, is there any dispute to that?
Yeah. So, players are the owners of regional soda companies. I'm reading my notes. The goal of the game is to expand your soda empire and cover the nation in your delicious carbonated drink. I'm imagining it to be 2-6 player game.
Yeah.
You know, it kind of inspired by Risk or Small World. So it's not okay. It's not really a 4X game because you're not... You're not exploiting, and you're not necessarily exterminating.
Not necessarily exterminating.
It's about Risk. Risk. I inspired by Risk because of the simple mechanics. You know, Risk is super simple and really diabolical. But also inspired by Small World because Small World is not necessarily about conquering everything. You know, the game's going to end at some point, and you just want to be the guy with the most money.
Yeah,
at the end.
You want to have the biggest Small World, right?
Exactly right. So I kind of like a mashup of that a little bit. It's also focused just in the U.S., just continental U.S., I think, right now. The country then is divided into different regions because each region is going to have its own specific soda. I don't really have a specific list. I was thinking 8 to 10 places. I brainstormed some ideas here, so tell me what you think of these. So I'm thinking the Northwest, the Southwest, New England, Bible Belt, Southern Atlantic, Southern Gulf, Midwest, Texarkana, the Rockies, Appalachia, High Plains, the Breadbasket, you know, different regions of the country. Okay? That was kind of the idea for that. I'm reviewing notes. Okay. I think that, like I said, I think there'd be 8 to 10 major regions in the country. Each of those regions then is divided into 2, 3, or 4 separate districts.
Okay.
Okay, locales, or whatever you want. I'm calling them districts right now. Each district can support one distribution center. Okay? And that's what you're going to be looking to build. You're going to be looking to build distribution centers. And if you can control every district in a region, then you control the market in that entire region. Doesn't mean nobody else can come in and sell stuff in your region, but you're basically you've cornered the market. You own that region of the country with right. your specialty market soda. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. One single distribution center for every distribution center you have in a district. It will automatically generate one product per turn. Okay, so I'm thinking distribution centers are cubes that you'd be placing on the board. Products are actual cylinders, like soda cans.
Yeah,
you know, it would be even better if I could get little wooden things shaped like soda bottles. But yeah. Whatever, you know, that'd be pretty cool.
I do feel like the artwork for this game could be a huge selling point.
Oh, for sure.
Like
yeah,
just
yeah.
The fancy different bottles right. and stuff.
And you know, and of course, the big question is: do you come up with 6 different soda brands and everybody has to pick one, or is part of the game that you have to make up the name of your soda at the start of the game?
I don't know. I think it'd be cool because to have the thing, because then you could have I guess you could have artwork without the name of the, you know, yeah. you could just have flavors, right. and you pick the name of your soda brand. I
Based think that's on your flavor.
Cool. Yeah.
Right. So
I think that's cool.
Right. Okay.
Because then you could have more than, like, you could have multiples. Like, here's 10 to choose from. Everybody picks one, and then you know, they don't even do anything different. It's just for flash and flare, you know?
Sure. Okay. A single district, distribution center can generate, will automatically generate one product per turn, and that's going to be for free. You will then sell products to earn money. And you spend money to do other things in the game. All right. Now, of course, each district, though, can only support up to 4 product on the marketplace at any given time.
Makes sense.
So if your district already has one distribution center and 4 product pieces in that district, then you either have to ship some of the product that you're generated somewhere else, you have to warehouse it, which means pull it back off the board mm-hmm. in front of you, or you're just going to lose that generation for that turn.
Right.
And warehousing and shipping is going to cost you money.
Right.
Okay. So, you spend money to move products, to warehouse products, to build new distribution centers in open districts, or to buy cards. Okay, cards are going to allow you to do a lot of things during the game. Alternatively, you can also sell one of your distribution centers to an opponent. It would allow him or her to change it to their color, and that might be okay. a way to kind of trade some stuff. So it kind of encourages some sharing of the marketplace.
Right, like you've got one district, but you really would do better if you could have these two over here.
Right.
So like, hey, I'll sell you this so you can make your right. block of districts
Work
over
out
here.
Some and alliances, I can, trying to knock out some other guys. That's the idea. Okay. So
that seems very real too.
Yeah, I think so. A player will earn $1 per turn for each district he has a distribution center in.
Mm-hmm.
So the more distribution centers out there, automatically going to be also earning more money in addition to generating more product. You will also earn X money for each region he fully controls,
okay.
Where X varies depending on the size of the region. So, you know, if you have a region that's made up of 2 districts, that might earn you 2 extra money per turn. But if you got a 4 district region, maybe that's going to earn you 4 extra money per turn. That's balancing stuff,
right?
You know,
it's kind of like Risk, though.
But
like
that's the idea. If you're going to control a whole continent, right? Inspired by Risk, exactly.
Right.
So you can do a few different things on your turn. Okay, you can earn money. You're going to always earn money from districts or regions. Likewise, you're also going to automatically be gaining 1 product per distribution center on the board. You can earn money from selling your products. Okay, you can sell your products anytime you want and get more money right away. You can buy new distribution centers or build them in places, mm-hmm. but only in a place that's already open. Okay, you can't add a distribution center to a place where there already is one because they've already kind of controlled that area. You can buy cards, you can move product around, or you can play cards. Play cards allow you to do different things to affect the game. Stuff like get more money, get more product out there, make it cheaper to buy things, or things to penalize other players. Okay. Now, the game also, obviously, these kinds of games, they need conflict, right? Where you can affect each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what it's going to be doing is this is how you would take a distribution center from somebody else, okay?
Mm-hmm.
By you want to gain market share. You want to you want the public to demand your product over someone else's.
Right.
Okay. And this is a little fuzzy for me that I've been trying to work out. I want conflicts to be facilitated with cards. Okay, so okay. every card's going to have its standard special ability on it, but it's also going to have some conflict or some marketing stuff on it as well. So you can either play it for its special power or play it in a conflict to resolve a conflict. Okay, the cards represent marketing campaigns. Each player puts down a card. If you're going to start a conflict here, you're basically going to have a marketing war, an advertising war. Each player in that combat will start by putting down a card, and that's kind of a specific value, which is kind of the appeal to that marketplace. And also, those values might change based on what part of the country you're playing them in. The defending player is going to get a district bonus because they already have a good installed base in that area. Then each player rolls a die. You add up the totals. Whoever has the higher number is the winner. Okay, but then you have the option to spend more money to buy more and more points on that score. Basically, so you're just spending money to increase your advertising, to get your name right out there more and more. So it's a way for you can just go for it. You can just roll a die, put a campaign out there and see what happens. And if you're doing well, great. But if you really, really want that space, like you really want it, you can sell a whole bunch of products somewhere else in the country and just pump tons of money into this new spot.
So you guaranteed you're going
to
win it.
Just flood the market unless he has more money than you right. do to fight you off.
Can I make a quick suggestion?
Of course, yeah.
I've been thinking about this the whole time because of our initial conversation, but what you're saying actually really lends itself to this. The bigger districts should have mega stores, like World Market style okay. stores, where you can get your product into, right?
Yeah.
And then certain cards would allow you to manipulate that, right? Like, so if I've got my product in this megastore, even mm-hmm. though I don't have a distribution center, right? That's allowing me to somehow work that district that you're trying to hold. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that would work well if it's a card to place a megastore.
Yeah.
So you could place a megastore in any district you own or in any district adjacent to one that you control.
Right.
Yeah. So and the megastore can benefit anybody.
Right.
Yeah.
But it can screw with, like, so if you've got a big district and somebody owns that, right?
Yeah.
It allows you to try and control that district a little bit so they're not getting the huge bonus.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, I like that.
That feels very thematic to me.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want to make sure I say that you can ship products one space, one district per turn. Okay. And you could even do it farther if you want to spend more money to do that is right. the idea. But you can move those to place to districts where you don't have a distribution center. You just have to send a truck over there. And you can send it clear across the country if you have enough money or if you want to take the number of turns to do that. Because if you have a card that says, hey, if you sell your product in a specific district, it's going to earn you more money is the idea.
Right.
So the goal of building a district or distribution center in a district is to gain, you know, market share and control over that market in that area. Doesn't mean you can't sell your stuff somewhere else.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So end game. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what the best way to handle that is, but I think my first thought is that the winner is the first person to gain enough net worth and enough market value to be bought out by a global conglomerate and turn into worldwide.
To go mainstream.
Basically. Yeah, to go mainstream. Yeah. Yeah, essentially. To go worldwide, become a name brand across the globe. You know, to be bought by Coca-Cola or Pepsi right. yep. and put in rotation, standard rotation with their stuff. But I'm not sure exactly how you would determine that.
I mean, you could. What if you? Because you're picturing this obviously as a board game.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So what if
lots of little bits and pieces out on the board?
This might be a kind of a fun way to track that. What if across the top you've got like a Stone Age style tracker,
mm-hmm.
and that tracker is market share, and the goal is to get to a certain market share, right? Now, the more money you have, that would help you do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you also could find ways to try and reduce market share for people, right? Like mm-hmm. with smear campaigns or something like that, or, you know, issues with their production. So, you know, maybe for each area that you own, like that's those combinations of areas are giving you more market share. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Yeah, that would be my best thought for that. And then when the first person that hits that goal, like of whatever percent market share,
mm-hmm.
boom, they're going to be snatched up by the company, you know?
Using that the word market share makes me want to say that you always have to have all the players' values add up to 100%. And so every time one person goes up, another person has to go down.
Right.
And that's a nice idea in theory, but I feel like that would be tough to keep track of.
Right. So maybe not market share.
So maybe we could call it like
popularity,
like brand recognition, popularity or something. Yeah. And then that can be an arbitrary number.
Right. That doesn't have to, you know, like.
So every time you win a conflict, you're going to win.
Market saturation.
Yeah, right. Every time you win a conflict or win a battle for a region,
right.
your brand recognition is going to go up.
Right.
Every time you earn a certain number of, certain amount of cash on a turn, your brand recognition is right. going to go up. Okay, so that'd be a good way to do it. And when you reach a certain threshold, then Coke right. knocks on your door and says, hey, we want to buy you.
Right. And you could try and put in some things that were kind of counterintuitive to what you would initially expect
mm-hmm.
for gaining that. You know what I mean? So it's not like, so you don't always have to be the person making the most money to get those, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so that could be, yeah. Right. I think that's kind of a neat, if you want in the end that you're getting sucked up by this global conglomerate, which I will say is a little bit of a downer. Because, like, you're kind of like these hipster soda kings and, you know.
Yes, yeah, so, but that's the one I'm thinking, well, maybe that's not the right end game. Maybe that's thematically not the end game we want.
I think having you win the popularity war should be the end game.
Yeah.
But maybe not sucked up by the global conglomerate. Maybe you go worldwide. That's what it is. Like,
yeah, okay, so it could just be that. You go global.
Go global, yeah. Nice. The other thing that would be cool to have in some of the cards would be contests. Like, you know, like they have, like, beer contests and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no reason you couldn't have the same thing with the soda. Where, like, you know, like, contest is a bad way to put it, I feel like. No, that would be it. Yeah, like, contest, right? Like where everybody enters their soda and the best soda wins.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Okay.
So, that could be really cool because that would be a way you could be not making that much money.
Yeah.
By winning those, because you don't get, but you get a lot of recognition for that.
Yeah.
So that's pushing you up the popularity charts because you're getting buzz, right? Yeah. Out of those.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there could be cards like, you know, stadium sponsorship. You know, right. If you're gonna play a card, you have to spend a bunch of money. But, you know, the more money you choose to spend, the more your brand recognition is going to go up because you're buying a bigger and bigger ad in the, right. in the sports stadium.
Product placement in a movie.
Exactly, that kind of stuff.
Some
yeah.
actors like.
Yeah, you know, soda. Right. So, yeah. So it was just kind of a silly idea. I've wanted to do a Risk style game for a long time, but I never had a theme that really kind of clicked for me. So I think this is kind of a fun concept. Do you think it might be like just kind of too corporate, too businessy, or do you think it's fun enough?
No.
Yeah.
No, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah. I would be interested to hear other listeners. I mean, guys out there, do you have any favorite regional soda brands or names or anything that I should, when I go to World Market, should I be looking out for that? You know, what are your favorite regional sodas?
If you want to know about root beer, talk to Jason Gutarski.
Yeah. Oh yeah. He's a connoisseur, isn't
he? Oh yeah. He is like, we are like, he's like we are with beer, but way more so.
Yeah. He's a root beer snob.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so yeah, send that stuff in. I would love to hear about other regional sodas so that I can watch out for that stuff and try them, because I love trying those things. Really, really love doing that. And if you guys have never had Cheerwine and you've had a chance to try, you have a chance to try Cheerwine or Ski or Cactus Cooler, do it.
Or Verner's,
do it. I would kill for a bottle of Ski. I have not had a bottle of Ski since I was probably 13 years old.
Where do they sell in Ohio?
Southern Ohio and Kentucky and Tennessee.
If anybody's going through there on the way to Gen Con, hey,
come on.
Hook Rob up.
Bring me some Ski. And they only sold it in like 1 liter bottles. Oh, man.
Maybe that's what we could do for our Gen Con roundtables this year. Mm-hmm. Have like a ton of fancy soda.
Yeah, well, we
in
could.
In room, you know?
Yeah, we could definitely do that. Beer is a little easier, though.
It's true. It is true.
But yeah, Ski. I'm 35 right now. I've not had a bottle of Ski since I was 13 years old, and I probably not a week has gone by of my life where I've not at some point thought, gosh, I'd really like a bottle of Ski.
I really want to try Cactus Cooler.
It's
called Cactus Cooler.
I don't even know if they still make that. I don't know if they still make Ski. There was a Kentucky Headhunter song that referenced Ski.
Nice.
Yeah. I think it was Kentucky Headhunters.
Yeah, probably.
Probably was. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, maybe they don't make Ski. Maybe they don't make Cactus Cooler anymore. I know they make Cheerwine. I know they make Verner's. So, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, keep in touch, guys. Okay, that's enough of that.
So we've got some questions still stacked up. We're going to save those for the next episode, just so we don't run long on this one. Next episode, guys, is the Gen Con pre-show special, right. So we'll have some extra time.
Yeah, and send your questions in for us for that. You know, any questions you have about Gen Con, what we're planning to do, get ready for that. Send that in, because we would love to hear what you guys want to know about Gen Con. So,
yes, please. Yeah. Tell us what you want us to talk about for Gen Con.
Yeah.
We will.
Right. So that's it. Okay. So I want to remind you guys again, though, about what's happening at Gen Con. First of all, this is really basically going to be the greatest thing that will happen at Gen Con this year. You know, I think that's pretty much an accepted fact.
Yes.
This is going to be the highlight of Gen Con for everyone. And if you don't go, you're really going to miss out. That's Building the Game Live, our live show.
It's true.
We're super pumped about it. That's going to be on Saturday from 2 to 4 p.m. in the Crown Plaza, Pennsylvania Station C. That's the room. At least that's what it says in the Gen Con directory here. Game ID for that is SEM1457456. Look it up. Admission is free. You do not need a ticket to get in, but if you could sign up for it online in advance, we would really appreciate
that. Just to let us know you're coming.
Just so we know what to expect. So,
and, if you come there, you will be on the show. They're guaranteed.
Guaranteed.
Like, we're going to have a mic. You can ask questions.
Right.
Last year, almost every person that was there got up and said
everyone stuff. Who wanted yeah. to say yeah. something got up and said
absolutely.
Something. Yeah, so be there or be square. It's going to be fun. We're also going to be doing a special thing. Once we're done with the main show, we're going to do a little extra recording with listeners and with participants. Not going to tell you what that is or why, but I think...
You want to be a part of it.
You want to be a part of it. I think it's going to be super fun and super cool, yeah. and we're excited
you
about
will,
it.
You will change the show forever.
Forever.
Possibly.
And ever. Probably forever.
Yeah.
The game will be different. Not the game. The show will be different once this is passed.
Yep.
I will also be participating in a panel for the other Deathmatch finalists to kind of talk about, it's called Perspectives on Making Your First Game. That's event number SEM1458367. That's going to be on Friday from 2 to 3. Also, this is in Union Station Grand Hall. That's basically connected to the Crown Plaza. That's going to be me and a bunch of the other... Deathmatch finalists are going to be talking about our experiences post-Deathmatch with publishing and getting our games put together, and I'll be probably just sitting quietly while everyone says intelligent things because I haven't published a game. So that'll be fun. SEM1458367. Sign up for that as well. Again, admission are free, but if you could get your tickets in advance, that would be super cool. If you are a designer and you want to hang out with us for one of our roundtable shows, stay tuned. Next week, we will give you guys the times. We're going to decide what nights we're going to do. We're probably going to do that twice.
Yep.
So probably Thursday and Friday or Friday and Saturday. We'll see how the timing works out with that. We have to make that final right. decision.
Yep.
But get in touch with us if you want to be a part of that. We'll get you our room numbers and everything. We're going to be at the Embassy Suites, though.
Yep, and we'll have a banner hanging outside our room.
For the first time ever, we'll have a banner. That'll be exciting.
I mean, we've had a banner before. We've never been able to hang it, so
right.
we will this year.
Right, so that's pretty cool. We have passed 1,000 followers on Twitter, so that means the contest is open right now.
Yep.
Go to iTunes, leave us a review on iTunes, put a comment in there. We would prefer it if it's 5 stars, but it doesn't have to be 5 stars.
And the comment is, you are awesome.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be the best. But leave the comment on there. Send us an email saying, hey, I left a comment, and tell us what your name is on there.
Yep.
And then at the end of August, we're going to draw all those names out of a hat and pick one winner to win a copy of Castle Dice.
Yep.
We're going to be sending that out to you. So we're excited about that. We really want to drive some good iTunes reviews out there. Because the more of those we can get, the more likely we are to get some good ratings in the iTunes charts.
That's right.
That's exciting stuff. So, am I forgetting anything?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then, thanks everybody for listening. If you want to send us an email to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @podcastbtg. Jason is @JASlingerland, and I am @poorly_design. You can like us on Facebook. Give us the 5-star review on iTunes. Keep on coming back every week. Don't forget about Something From Nothing, the bi-weekly video show. Me and Jason and Chevy and TC talk about game design stuff. I think we've got one more coming before Gen Con.
Well, it's past now at this point, but yeah.
Okay, yeah.
It was last week.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, check it out every other Sunday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. If you can't watch it live, you can see it archived on YouTube. You can find the links to that on btgcoop.com or on iTunes. We also have the audio for a podcast you can download and listen to at your leisure. And that's it. Come on back every week and hang out with us and listen to the show. Thanks so much. Thanks so much. 114 episodes in the can, man.
Yeah.
And we're just rocking it. We're well on our way to 200, and that's pretty exciting. And it's all thanks to you guys out there. Thanks again so much for listening. We really, really appreciate it. We'll see you at Gen Con.
Yes.
Good night.
Good night.
Building the Game is a co-production of Imminent Entertainment and Poorly Designed Studios.
All the ideas presented by Rob and Jason are the property of the Building the Game podcast.
Next time on Building the Game. Fan is off. Episode 114.
Yeah, I kind of feel like this is like in those movies where, like, all right, you've got 30 minutes to do this. And you're like, fan is off, timer is started.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kind of is like that.
T-minus 23 minutes and counting to sweat.
Right.
Yeah. Probably less, actually.